doing in Yaakov on Masechet Shabbat. We're up to the 16th chapter of Masechet Shabbat, page Kuf Yud Ches, 118. The Amar Rabbi Yossi taught, Yechelki mimetim b'chol imayim. He wished upon himself that he should pass away like those who pass away from a digestive illness, an illness in the digestion. Because we have the following quote, Ruban shel tzadikim meitim b'chol imayim. The majority of the righteous die from these illnesses that plague a person's digestion. This is an illness that's very painful. And Rabbi Yossi was saying, when a person dies this painful death, then, so to speak, they've cleansed themselves of any punishment they're still meant to receive, and they die a more clean death, so to speak, spiritually. So Rabbi Yossi wished upon himself that should be his passing. V'amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught another thing. Yechelki mimetim b'derech mitzvah. May my portion be from those who pass from the world as they're en route to do a mitzvah. I should merit that. That should be the time that I'm passing. And, says, what better way to go from the world than being busy doing something positive? V'amar Rabbi Yossi. He said, my portion should be with those who accept Shabbat in Tveria, which is low. And so in Tveria, when you look around, it gets dark earlier. So if the neighboring cities that are on a higher elevation, they take in Shabbos at 6 o'clock. In Tveria, they take in Shabbos at 5:30. Because at 5:30, it already starts seeming dark. So Rabbi Yossi says, my lot should be with those who take in Shabbos in Tveria. Umimotzei Shabbat b'tzipori. And those who end their Shabbos like Tzipori that's sitting on top of a mountain. And so that if all the neighboring cities say it's already nighttime at 6 o'clock, in Tzipori on the mountain, they say, I can still see the sun. They wait until 6:30 before they say it's Motzei Shabbos. So Rabbi Yossi wished upon himself he should accept Shabbos early and take out Shabbos late. My portion should be with those who accept Shabbos in Tveria and they leave Shabbos in Tzipori. V'amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi used to say another thing. Yehi chelki mi yoshevei beit hamidrash velo mimamidei beit hamidrash. My portion should be with those who gather the students to sit in the beginning of the learning. My portion should not be with those who were responsible to say, hey, it's time to stop learning, we gotta go eating. So Rabbi Yossi said, I want my portion to be with those that get people to learn, not with those that get people to stop. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, yechelki migabai tzedakah, velo mimechalkei tzedakah. Rabbi Yossi said, I would rather have my portion with those who collect charity rather than those who give out charity. Because to give out charity is very hard. You have to decide how worthy each poor person is. And maybe you're biased. Maybe you misjudged a person. So Rabbi Yossi says, that's very hard. Because if you decided that so-and-so needs more charity, then by giving them more, you have withheld from someone else. If you decide that so-and-so needs less charity, well then maybe you didn't give him enough, and he's going to have a more difficult life because of that. So Rabbi Yossi said, I wish upon myself I should merit to always be from the collectors, because when you collect charity, you've only done a service both to those who donate and to those who receive. I don't want to be from those who decide who receives how much. That I don't want to be. He said, that's very hard. If I can, if he's the only rabbi there, if he's going to have to be on the board that decides, he will be. But Rabbi Yossi wished upon himself he should merit these things. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Chamesh be'ilot ba'alti v'natati chamisha arazim b'Yisrael. He said, there were 5 times that I was active trying to have children with my wife, and I merited those 5 times that I planted 5 cedar trees in Israel. Umaninun, who were these 5 products of his attempts at fertility? Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, the Tana Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Avtilas, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi. Five sons who became famous rabbis. He says those were five times we worked hard on our fertility and we merited to have five children. The Gemara asks, Vaika Valdimus, but wait a second. There was another son of Rabbi Yossi named Vardimus, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Why didn't he count him? And says the Gemara, Hainu Vardimus, Sanu Menachem. Vardimus was a nickname for Rabbi Menachem, the son of Rabbi Yossi. It wasn't the sixth son of his, but rather it was a nickname for his fifth son. Vamaikari Le Vardimus, why really did he have that nickname? Shepanav Domim Le Vered, because Vardimus comes from the word Vered, comes from the word like a rose. He had a beautiful face like a rose, so they used to call him Vardimus. That was the nickname he got. Asked the Gemara, what does that mean? He only attempted to do his fertility five times and had five children. Does that really mean that Rabbi Yossi was only with his wife five times? He should have been with his wife the way a husband is responsible to. Once a week, twice a week, depending on what his tasks are. There's a minimum that he owes his wife as part of the marriage. He didn't keep his mitzvah. What does that mean? But rather, what Rabbi Yossi was saying is, those were the times that they were working hard on their fertility. He didn't mean that they weren't together any other time. How did they work hard on their fertility? So the Gemara says, if a person is intimate with his wife twice in succession the same night, so then he ups the odds of fertility. What's the logic behind that? So you could say there's twice as many sperm cells in the wife. Okay, so it's a difference of this number billion sperm cells or that number billion. What's the logic? So there's another explanation here. The canal through which the sperm has to go up to reach the woman's womb dries out the sperm. Not only dries it out, but it's also Hashem created a certain level of acidity that protects the womb and protects the woman, and that acidity also kills off the sperm cells. So the odds of a woman becoming pregnant are not very high from any specific time that a couple were intimate together. However, if the couple were intimate twice in the same night, so then the second time the sperm slides over the first time. And then more of the sperm can actually get to the womb, and also less of the sperm will get killed off on its way up. So that's the logic behind saying that twice in one night ups the odds. And that's what Rabbi Yossi says. There were five times that his wife and he decided they were going to try harder to have kids. What they did on those five times was they'd be together twice in the same night. And that was how they upped the odds. And he says each time it worked, and then they had a child. And these were these five children. I'm not Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught.
All that's in the Talmud?
Yeah. Everything we're reading now is Talmud.
Is that scientifically
wrong? Yeah. Check it out. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Me'amai lo karati le'ishti ishti ve'le'shori shori. Rabbi Yossi says, if you want another thing that's in Talmud, we have a lot of advice on fertility from the Talmud. What we just discussed now is one piece, but there are other pieces of advice. Rabbi Yossi taught the following. I never called my wife my wife. I never called my ox my ox. Ela li'ishti beiti. I only called my wife my home. I never referred to as wife. I always said my home. She's the home. She's the essence of the home. So I always, when I spoke to her, I didn't just say my wife. The term ishti, my wife, indicates, so to speak, my girlfriend. And that's not the main point. She has much more than being my friend. She's the essence of the whole home we're building. And so Rabbi Yossi, when he referenced his wife, he'd never call her just the word my wife. He'd always say my home. He'd never call his ox his ox. He'd always say my field. He'd recognize that his whole capacity to have food from his field came from his ox. So he had a deeper level of appreciation for things in his life. If it was his wife, he said, my wife is much more than just my friend. She is the essence of my home. If it was his ox, he'd say, my ox is not just my ox. My ox is the ability I have to produce food for my field. Rav Moshe Halberstam Zatzal, when I used to come to ask him questions, so sometimes my wife would say, tell him this, ask him that, and I'd say, my wife said, like this or that. And he'd always correct me, and he'd say, learn from Rabbi Yossi, never call her your wife. You should never call her your wife. She's much more than just your wife. She's your home, she's a lot more. Don't say Ishti. He used to say Ishti, and he used to say, Al Tomar Ishti. Because Ishti comes from the word Ishut, comes from the term of intimacy. And a person should recognize that his connection with his wife is much more than that. That's an important component, but it's a component. V'amar Rabbi Yossi. I didn't agree with him. I didn't agree with him based on a Rambam. The Rambam says that when the Talmud says that certain Tanoim did something, so that's telling you the exception. When the Talmud tells you now, Rabbi Yossi says, I never called my wife my wife. That means Rabbi Yossi was unique in that way. Every other rabbi did call them their wives. Rabbi Yossi was saying, here's something unique that I did because I believe in it. And so we learn from that. We say it's a very important teaching, but that doesn't obligate us. So I once said that to him. So Rav Halberstam said to me, go look at Rabbi Kiv Eger in Yevamos. He sent me the reference, which I didn't find. But he didn't agree with what I said. He still said, don't call her Ishti.
Also an exception in Bendix. Because by asking, I thought about it myself. And I actually suffered for it. But later it became too scary for me. So I definitely not to have it. So is it an exception in the thing?
Let's wait till we get to Moed Katan. Stick around. The Gemara and Moed Katan will expand on this. What's considered a good way to go or not a good way to go. We learned one opinion until now. V'amar Rabbi Yossi, Mi'amai lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. Rabbi Yossi says, I've always tried to be modest. I never looked at my circumcision. Never looked at it. Now, the word nistakalti means I never looked with intent. It doesn't mean he never saw it. It means he never analyzed it. He never looked closely. Ini, the Gemara says, that's so, that Rabbi Yossi was like that. He was so modest. V'amar le Rebbe, ma'ita mukar lach Rabbeinu HaKadosh. It says that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, who compiled the Mishnah, so they once asked him, why did you merit to have the nickname that people call you, our holy rabbi? There were many rabbis in Jewish history, and they never got that nickname. How come you got that nickname? So he said to them, Amar lahem, Yamai lo nistakalti b'mila sheli. Rabbi said, the reason is because I never looked at my circumcision. And if Rabbi Yossi also had that unique characteristic, then why didn't Rabbi Yossi merit to have the nickname Rabbeinu HaKadosh? The Gemara is asking. Answers the Gemara, but Rabbi Miltachiti Havabe. Rabbi had another point that was unique about him. Shelochnis yado tachat avneto. He never put his hand under his belt. His hand never went beneath his belt. His hand never went beneath his belt. So that's another element of modesty. Yeah.
When they say this, should we understand it literally? Like, he never put his hand under his belt, or like as a metaphor for something else?
I think over here it is literal.
I never knew the Talmud was this racy.
Tov?
Like this way he said, like, never looked at his circumcision, like.
Yeah.
He would take showers like from heavens? I don't know, like, can it be like, never is a strong word.
So it depends. He didn't say never saw it. He said he never looked at it. So the term kadosh is a reference to a level of holiness. Holiness means beyond modesty. Rabbi Yossi says, the walls of my house never saw the hem of my garment, meaning the under part of the garment that's sewed. Whenever Rabbi Yossi would get undressed, he would do it under the covers. So he says, the walls of my house never saw the hem of my garment. I would get dressed and undressed under a blanket or under a robe. So that was another element of modesty. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that this is a level of modesty. Everyone should aspire to that. Now, it doesn't mean you can't take a shower, but it means when you're not in the shower room, where you're in the rest of the house, so then that's a level of modesty that a person should try to strive towards. Not to be naked in the rest of the house, a person should try to get dressed under his robe or whatever, or in the shower room. In the shower room, it's okay. Now this isn't a prohibition, this is a level of modesty. A person who in their home walks around undressed, it's not like they transgressed. It's a level of modesty that Rabbi Yossi attained, and on some level every one of us can aspire to. He says, I never went against what my friend said. I know I'm not a Kohen. But if my friends tell me, you go up there with the Kohanim, you have a beautiful voice, join them in the singing, make the Birkat Kohanim beautiful, I go up, not because I agree with them, I know I'm not a Kohen, but I have so much respect for my friends that if they tell me, go sing with the Kohanim, I go and sing with the Kohanim. Rabbi Yossi taught one final teaching. Perhaps to us, this is the most relevant teaching, the most powerful teaching. Mi'amai lo amalti davar v'chazarti la'achorai. Rabbi Yossi says, I never said something and looked over my shoulder. I never said something and said, wait a second, let me make sure so-and-so didn't hear me. I never said something that I'd have to look over my shoulder and think, if there was such and such a person present, I wouldn't say that. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't say it, period. So I never said something that I had to look over my shoulder when I was talking. So that's a very important concept in the laws of Lashon Hara. Rabbi Yossi says, I never said something and looked over my shoulder. I never said something that if the person would be present, I'd regret saying it or I'd feel bad saying it. Okay. So with that, we finish the quotes of Rabbi Yossi. Let's do a quick recap before we move forward. We said, number one, he wished upon himself the painful death of dying from digestive issues. Number two, he wished upon himself that he would die en route to doing a mitzvah, in the process of doing a mitzvah. Number three, he wished upon himself that he should accept Shabbos early as though he were living in the valleys of Tveria, and end Shabbos late as though he was living on the hilltops of Tzipori. Number four, he wished upon himself to be from those who gather people to learn Torah and not from those who end the learning and say it's time to eat. Number five, he wished upon himself to always be from those who collect for charity and not those who decide who receives. Number six, he wished upon himself... Oh, we skipped a line here. Good that we're recamping. As I was reading it, I skipped a line. V'ama Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi taught another teaching. He wished upon himself he should be from those people that are suspect of something and they come clean. So being suspect of something is an uncomfortable situation, but it forces a person to grow. One of the reasons that people don't grow is because they feel like they have their reputation. Everyone thinks I'm great anyways. So it's that complacency allows us to stay put and not continue growing. when we feel like we have to prove something, people are questioning what type of person I am, so that forces us to behave better. It's a difficult yet positive experience to be suspect. And so Rabbi Yossi said, my portion should be from those who are suspect and really are clean. Amar Rav Papa said about himself, Ledidi chashtan velohavabi. I had that in my own life, Rav Papa says, that people suspected me of something and really I was completely clean. Okay, so that's also a point of growth. Okay, that was the sixth point. Then Rabbi Yossi taught us a seventh point, that there were five times that he was active in the fertility of his family, and he had five cedar trees that grew out of that. The Gemara pointed out that Vardimos, his son, was really Rabbi Menachem, but because he looked like a Vered, so he was called Vardimos. The Gemara explained that on those five occasions, they were intimate twice that night to up the odds of being fertile. Then Rabbi Yossi taught he never in his life looked at his own circumcision. And we discussed Rebbe's holiness. And finally, the eighth point, Rabbi Yossi said the walls of his house never saw the hem of his garment. The ninth point was Rabbi Yossi said he never went against what his friends said. If they told him, we want to hear you sing with the Kohanim, he went up there. And finally, the tenth point was he never said something and looked over his shoulder. So that was 10 points that Rabbi Yossi taught us. Now we move on. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Teitili. I wish good things should happen to me. Dekiyamti shalosh seudot b'shabbat. That I fulfilled the responsibility to have three beautiful meals on Shabbos. And so I always was careful to do that. And so I wish myself good things should happen because I was careful to do that. I always made sure to have three meals on Shabbos. Seudah shlishit. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda said, Teiti li, I wish good things should happen to me. Deki yamit iyun tfila, that I was careful to learn my prayer before I prayed. We pray every day the same prayer. Do we take the time to understand what we're saying? We say every day that the angels speak to one another, benachas ruach. What does that mean? There are so many things we say in prayer that we have to learn and study and try to understand. Rabbi Yehuda said, I was careful to focus and understand every word I said. Wow. That's a really tough thing. To understand every word you say every morning. Amar Ravuna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. Teitili. Ravuna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua said, I wish good things should happen to me. Delo sagina dal damot b'giluy arosh. I never took four footsteps without wearing a head covering. Now we know where that comes from. You're not supposed to walk four footsteps without a head covering. We learn it from here. Amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat taught. But wait a second. From here it doesn't sound like it's obligatory. From here it sounds like it's a pious thing. Right? In ancient times it was a pious thing. Later on it became obligatory. Amar Rav Sheshat. Rav Sheshat taught. Teitili dekeyamit mitzvat tfilin. Good things should come to me. That I fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin, that I wouldn't walk four footsteps without tefillin. Rav Sheshat, even though he was blind, was so careful with the mitzvah of tefillin that you wouldn't catch him ever walking around without his tefillin.
All day.
That means he never had an inappropriate thought. If a person has an inappropriate thought, they're not allowed to wear tefillin. So he kept his thoughts clean. Rav Nachman teitili. Rav Nachman said, good things should come to me, the kaimit mitzvah tzitzit, that I was careful to always keep the mitzvah of tzitzis my whole life. Amar le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef b'Rei d'Rabba. Rav Yosef said to his compadre, his friend, Rabba had a son named Rav Yosef too. So Rav Yosef said to Rabba's son, Rav Yosef. Okay, Rav Yosef senior, the elder, Rav Yosef said to the younger Rav Yosef. Now, we have to understand historical context to this conversation. In Babylon, the Rosh Yeshiva passed away. And when the Rosh Yeshiva passed away, they had a question, who should be the chief rabbi here in Babylon? So some said it should be Rav Yosef, and some said it should be Rabba. Rav Yosef says, no thanks, make Rabba the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabba says, I don't know, maybe he's bigger, maybe he should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Not sure what to do. Rav Yosef was a master of all the tradition, and Rabba was extraordinarily sharp in his analysis of the tradition. So Rav Yosef had a handle on the tradition better, but Rabba had a sharper understanding of everything. So which is bigger? That's what the Talmud asks. Sinai, the one who has the tradition going back to Sinai like Rav Yosef, very exactly with a tremendous breadth of tradition, or the depth of Rabba, who might not have had the breadth of Rav Yosef, but nonetheless he had the depth. Who was bigger? Who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? So they sent the question out to Israel. Who should be the Rosh Yeshiva? So the rabbis in Israel sent the letter back. They said, Rav Yosef should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef is the master of tradition. So if you have a choice between someone who has a better tradition and someone who has more depth, go with the better tradition. So they came to Rav Yosef and they said, Rabbi, we have a conclusion. You should be the Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Yosef says, that's very interesting. I'm not. Go to Rabbi. I'm not taking the position. And Rav Yosef turned down the position. And for the next 20 years, Rabbi was the Rosh Yeshiva. And it says that all the years that Rabba was the Rosh Yeshiva, even if Rav Yosef needed a doctor, he was sick, he wouldn't call him to his house. No one should say that Rav Yosef behaved with any airs about him. He treated himself like the simplest Jew, to the point that if he needed a doctor, he wouldn't call the doctor to him, which was common practice in those days. He would take himself out of bed and schlep all the way to the doctor. Now Rav Yosef was blind, so it was harder for him to get to the doctor. But he went. He said, Rabba's the Rosh Yeshiva, and I have nothing with it. And he kept Rabba the Rosh Yeshiva, and he kept himself on a low, low profile. He kept teaching Torah, but for 20 years he kept until Rabba passed away. And then when Rabba passed away, Rav Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva for 2 years, and then Rav Yosef passed away. So now Rav Yosef is having a conversation with Rabba's son, Rav Yosef, and he's asking him a question about Rabba. So if he's asking him about Rabba, it sounds like this conversation is taking place in the last 2 years of Rav Yosef's life when Rabba has already passed away. Now Rav Yosef is stuck. Now he's Rosh Yeshiva, whether he likes it or not. Rabba passed away, so Rav Yosef has to take the post. Yeah?
This happened during the Second Temple?
After. Rav Yosef and Rabba are Amoran. So we're dealing with 500 years after the destruction of the Second Temple.
And there's still there was already like a big community developed in Babylon,
yeah,
and in Israel.
Correct. So, Amale Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef bray de Rabba. Rav Yosef said to Rabba's son, Rav Yosef, Avuch b'may zahir tfei, your father, what was he so careful about in his, when he was careful about mitzvahs, what were his things that he was careful about? Amalei b'tzitzit, he was very careful in tzitzis. Yom achad avikasalik b'darga, one day, he was walking down the steps, down a ladder. Ifzik rechuta. And one of the strings of his tzitzis tore, and velo nachit ve'ata kema delo ramye. And he didn't finish going down the steps until he fixed his tzitzis. He right away said, bring me tzitzis, bring me, and he fixed his tzitzis right away. He wouldn't continue walking down the steps till he fixed his tzitzis. He said, I don't want to be even 10 seconds without tzitzis. Let me fix my tzitzis right away. So he said, you want to know which mitzvah my father was super careful about? It was tzitzis. That's interesting. That's interesting. V'amar Abaye, Teiti Li, we went down a generation. Abaye is the disciple of Rabba and Rav Yosef. When Rav Yosef became old, he had a period that he forgot what he would teach. So sometimes Abaye would say something, and Rav Yosef would say, where'd you get that from? And Abaye would say, you taught me. Abaye would remind Rav Yosef what he had taught him. Later on, Rav Yosef became better, and then he remembered his learning. I've seen in my own lifetime that sometimes certain pressures can cause you to forget things that you knew. That you knew cold. That you suddenly just forget. Sometimes when people are under a lot of pressure and they don't have time to sleep and they don't have time to think, they suddenly find themselves forgetting things that they thought they knew cold. V'amar Abaye. Abaye taught, Teitili. Good things should come to me. Hashem should pay me my wages. Techichazina tzuba merabanan. Techalim masechtei. When I see a young student, a sharp student, that finished a masechta, avidna yomatav al rabanan. I make a party for all the rabbis. I make a siyum. Abaye said, I should get my wages from Hashem because there's a good thing that I've done in my lifetime. That I love those who learn Torah. Whenever I see someone who finished their learning, I make the party. I make the siyum. Now Abaye was poor. Abaye wasn't wealthy. He himself says that Abaye would walk around hungry. But if there was reason to celebrate, he did. I remember when we used to learn Navi in Rabbi Feinstein's yeshiva. So I asked Rabbi Feinstein whether we should celebrate every time we finished a book of Navi, a book of prophets. And we were learning about two chapters a day, so we'd finish a book about every 2 weeks. And he said to me, sure, make a siyum. I said, should we invite the Rosh Yeshiva? I didn't know if it was worth his time. He said, you invite me, and I'll bring the whiskey. And he did. Every time he brought the expensive whiskey, we would make, every time we'd finish a book, he'd bring the schnapps. Amar Rava. Rava said, so that's a fulfillment of this. That's what Abaye said. I always celebrated with the students when they finish a book. Amar Rava. Rava taught. You guys thought I was joking. I tell the guys here always, when you finish something, invite me. I want to come too. Amar Rava. Teitili. Good things should come to me. Techiati tzubam rabanan lekamai ledina. Lo mazigna reisha beisadia kamade lo mapichna bizchutei. When a young student comes to me and asks me a monetary issue, I don't let myself go to bed until I think through to figure out if he's in the right or not. I go over all the angles of his case. I don't want to leave him hanging. Amamar Baravashi, Pasilna leiletzubam rabanan ledina. So he said to him, Mar Baravashi said, I cannot judge anyone who is a young sage of Torah. I can't judge them. My taima, techaviv alai kigufai, because I love them like myself, Mar Baravashi said. Ven adam roe chova leatzmo. And just like a person can't judge themselves, because we're all biased, we all think that we're perfect, we have a hard time seeing that there's something wrong with us, so too, Mar Baravashi said, whenever a young rabbi comes before me, I have such an affinity for him. I say, wow, there's someone who's working for the Jewish people. Look at him. He's trying to learn. He's trying to help everyone. I'm biased. I can't judge him. So Mar Baravashi said, I can't judge the second there's someone who's invested in learning Torah in the case. Rabbi Chanina me'atif ekai bepanya demale shabata. Rabbi Chanina used to wrap himself in beautiful clothing and go out on Friday evening. Amar, and he would tell the students, Bo netze likat Shabbat Malketa. Let's go out and greet Shabbat the Queen. And that's what we do in Shul, based on this passage in the Gemara, that we turn around in the davening and we say, Boikala, Boikala. That's this passage, that Rabbi Chanina used to go and greet Shabbos the Queen. So that's what we do. We also turn around, so to speak, to greet Shabbos the Queen. So here we see that he called Shabbos the Queen. Let's see another line. Rabbi Yanai Lavish Mane Ma'ale Shabta. Rabbi Yanai, who was Rabbi Yochanan's teacher, he wore his special clothing on Friday afternoon, v'amar, and he would say, boikala, boikala, that's our custom. We call Shabbos the bride. Come the bride, come the bride. So that's what we say on Shabbos. So what's he talking about when he says the bride? He's talking about the resting of Shabbos. That peace, the resting that we have on Shabbos, that we're all at peace and we rest, that's what he's calling the bride. When a person gets married, he's supposed to feel like his bride represents wholeness. The word kala comes from the word kol ba, everything in her. A person's supposed to feel like when he got married, he found everything. So you'll tell me, yeah, but my bride isn't everything. Right, we said you're supposed to feel like it. No one's everything. But to us, there's a sense of completion. That's the sense a person's supposed to feel when they enter Shabbos. Life isn't perfect, but I'm supposed to feel like I've attained a peace, a tranquility, now that we've entered Shabbos. Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Ikla lebe Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Rabba Bar Rav Huna came to the house of Rabba Bar Rav Nachman. Karivu leitlat sa'oi techui. They gave him three se'ah, that's a huge volume of biscuits that were coated in a delicious fat, a delicious oil. Amale miaviaditun deatina. So he said, how are you bringing me so much delicious food? Did you know I was coming? Amule miadifatlan mina dichtivikrat al Shabbat onek. They said, why do you think you're more important than the honor of Shabbos? We didn't know you were going to show up to us for Shabbos. We knew Shabbos was coming. In honor of Shabbos, we prepare a lot of delicious food. That's why we have all this delicious food ready for you. So that's the idea, that we prepare a lot of good food for Shabbos. We learn that from here, that when he showed up, they suddenly had all this delicious food ready. Okay. We'll pick up here with Zanjim next week. Let's recap the last section we saw. Rav Nachman said he was careful to have three meals on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda said he was careful to learn and focus on each word he said in tefillah and prayer. Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yoshua said he was careful not to walk four footsteps without a head covering. Rav Sheshet was careful to always wear tefillin, even though he was blind. You'd never find him without his tefillin. Rav Nachman was careful, you'd never find him without his tzitzis. When Rav Yosef asked Rabba's son, what was your father extra careful with? He said, tzitzis. He was walking down the ladder, and at one of his strings tore. He wouldn't finish coming down the ladder till he fixed his tzitzis. Abaye said, whenever he sees a young rabbi finish a masechet, he makes a party. One of the sources for the concept of siyum. Rava said, whenever a young rabbi asks him a monetary question, he doesn't let himself go to sleep that night without analyzing it thoroughly and figuring out if the young man is in the right. Mar Baravaji said, I can't judge those who learn Torah because I love them like myself, and so I'm biased. I won't judge them fairly. Rav Chanina would wrap himself and go out in honor of Shabbos and say, come Shabbos the Queen. Rabbi Yanai would dress himself and say, come the Kala in honor of Shabbos. And when Rabbi Bar Rav Huna showed up to Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman, they had a lot of good food prepared for him. From here we see the concept that in honor of Shabbos, we prepare a lot of good food.